I have a very special two guests today. We got Frank and Sam from ARK Invest. They're in town. We're going to test some robo-taxis. And actually, y'all have been taking a bunch of them already today, right? So what are y'all thoughts so far? Like, what's your experience?
I think it's boring in the best way.
Okay.
Right? It's like, you know, it is amazing. And then you're sitting in a car.
Yeah.
And it's as exciting as you are sitting in a car, but it's peaceful. The cars are amazing. We've had no safety issues, you know, some navigation with construction and like, you know, going around, but no real issues. I'm trying to think, you know, wait time we've said is a little bit more, but it's early days
it's just
testing.
A function of scale.
Right. And that changes. We were noticing that it's like the flat fee is actually less expensive than Uber and Lyft.
Way less expensive.
And so it's like, you know, it's novelty flat fee, but that's great for testing because it's way less expensive than taking an Uber everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. What about you? What do you think?
I mean, you can see that the technology is pretty much there. It's about, you know, getting the miles in to get confidence in the safety, to take the safety driver out of the car and scale up the number of cars. And they'll do that iteratively, you know, over time. But yeah, it's craziest thing we've talked about for like 10 years, it feels like it's finally here.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, of course it's here, you know, on to the next thing. Like, when are we gonna add a new city? Like, so quickly moving over the big event that it's happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great.
What's your reaction been?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with y'all. Like, for me, it's like, so I've taken 4 Waymo rides in Austin, and I've taken, 20 some odd robotaxi rides. And just the 4 Waymo rides has had more like weird idiosyncrasies than all of my rides with robotaxi. So right there tells me that Tesla has a technology advantage that allows them to have a smoother ride that's smarter. It can account for little nuances better. Waymo still offers a really good service, I feel like. And like, I would prefer a Waymo over a regular Uber, but the robotaxi just feels so much better. But it's just, they don't have enough cars. It's just, but I'm just, you know, I'm not super surprised by the results because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we knew, like to your point, we knew this was coming. Like if you've had FSD in a car, you knew it was coming for a while. It's just kind of wild actually seeing, you know, nobody in front of the steering wheel.
And I think like, you've seen FSD in the car get better over time.
Yeah.
And so much better, I think, over the last like 6 to 12 months. Like thinking back a year or 2 years, you'd see the steering wheel do this jerky motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that happen. I haven't seen that happen probably like a year.
We're like totally gone now.
100%.
Just, you know, running through the finer, the last few kinks on the model side to make everything smoother, you know, definitely has an impact. And then I think even the robotaxi model is a few steps ahead of what's on the FSD cars.
Right.
Currently you have for personal use, and that will, you know, flow back into the fleet soon too.
Yeah.
So everybody gets an automatic upgrade because of the fine tuning that we're doing in Austin.
Yeah, yeah. So has taking the rides, has it increased your confidence? Has it changed anything about the confidence? Like, has it made any impact whatsoever?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, my confidence was already very high.
Okay.
So maybe that's
it was already at 100.
Yeah. I was very confident.
Yeah.
But no, being down here, taking the rides, we went to Cortex.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, yeah, I think my confidence is increased over the like medium term that this is going to scale in a way that it's like, it'll become commonplace.
And I just think like seeing Waymos on the road and sitting in a robotaxi and touring the data center and doing the comparison, you get like, we have the factual understanding of Tesla's vertical integration, but actually walking through the data center and seeing, you know, their own rack and server design that they're using to train their models and, you know, all the workloads they've built in-house for training and then the car that they build and the chip that's in the car that they build.
Yeah.
You get an appreciation for this like full stack solution.
Yeah.
And then you see a Waymo that's like a Jaguar with like 100 sensors like put around it that has probably an NVIDIA chip in the car that, you know, Google has NVIDIA training clusters, presumably, plus TPUs in their data centers, but they're not, you know, as tightly integrated up and down throughout the stack as Tesla is. And I think that, like, you know, if it plays out how we think it will pay dividends over time as we get into, like, the proof of concept is complete. The MVP is here. Like, how quickly can they scale it up now?
Yeah.
So I think we'll get to see if that vertical integration plays, you know, starts to play more and more of a factor over time.
Yeah.
And you know, we were talking, we've mentioned this before. It's like, you know, Tesla says, when will it impact their financials in a serious way? They've said, you know, more end of next year.
Yeah.
But it's like with credit card data, it's like we saw from the Mary Meeker deck what's happening in SF.
Yeah.
It's like the financials probably show up much sooner looking at other people as opposed to at Tesla.
Yeah.
Right? It's like 1,000 cars in Austin, and it's like you look at credit card data.
Yeah.
It's like maybe that doesn't move the needle for Tesla because they're still selling so many cars.
Yeah.
But then you look at like what happens to Lyft.
Yep.
And it'll be like, oh, it's like,
exactly. Yeah. And like the writing is on the wall. And just in case people are not familiar with what Sam is referencing, so there was a study that was done in SF where they tracked Waymo's rides in relation to Lyft and Uber. And as of, what was it, middle of 2024, there's more Waymo rides than Lyft in Waymo's
service area
yeah. Right? And so what that showed, even at a higher price, at a higher average price, it was like 40% higher than Lyft or something like that, maybe even higher. And so, and there's already a trend where if you're gonna put a self-driving car in an area and it's safe enough, people are just gonna hail it because it's a superior product. It's private, you know what I'm saying? You can do whatever you want with it. So it's like, the same thing should happen with Robotaxi, but the scaling for them should be much bigger because they're software update away from turning it on tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of cars, right? So it's like, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And
isn't it
consumer preference for robo-taxis, I think, is like really interesting to see.
Where,
like, to your point, like, people given the option, they want to be in a Waymo versus an Uber because you don't have a driver, you don't know, it's a nicer car.
Yeah.
The ride is actually smoother, whether you're in a Waymo or a Tesla robo-taxi relative to your average driver.
Yeah.
That just even if you have to wait longer and pay more, like, I do that already sometimes on Uber. If I, you know, I do the Uber Green or the Uber Premium, it's like more expensive because I'm going to get an EV.
Oh, Uber Green. Nice.
Yeah.
I do it because I'm assuming I'm going to get a Tesla.
Very climate conscious. Nice.
The They Are Here shirt. Is this a robo-taxi shirt or is this an alien shirt?
It's actually, so I had a line said the robots are coming. And then, after I started tracking more, they're here, bro.
Yeah.
Like, the robots are here, right? So I made it kind of vague. It's like, they are here. And then people would ask the questions like, who's here?
Right.
I'm like, okay, the robots are here. So I have another one coming out that's the robots are here.
Well, have the latest update on Amazon robots. What's the latest?
You're saying the million robots deployed? Yeah, which is, it's like, for maybe like 3 or 4 years, they were saying, you know, 750,000 robots deployed.
Yeah.
They recently updated it to 1 million. It's like, if you look, you know, they've hired more robots than people over the past few years.
Whoa,
which is like, you know, crazy.
With relatively constant human employment.
Yeah.
So they're getting more efficient. They're not necessarily cutting jobs.
Right.
They're adding robots to do more faster at a lower cost.
Yeah.
For now.
So, but yes, the robots are certainly here.
Right? I mean, it's like, it's the economic forcing function is too great. It's like inescapable.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a robot that's going to do as good or better than a human, and it costs a fraction of that, like, over time of human labor, of course people are going to buy robots.
Right.
It's just a matter of, like, solving the technical challenge, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, the same thing's going to happen with self-driving. So,
We were talking about this in the ride over here, but interested in your reaction because you're here all the time as opposed to us. It's like SF, no one bats an eye at Waymos anymore just because they're so commonplace.
Right.
And it's like already here, it's like no one cares
because
they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think you talk to the average person and they're like driverless is like crazy.
Right.
But then you go to places where they are and it's like, no, it's not crazy. This is like fine and the way it's gonna be.
It's normal.
Right.
Yeah. It's normal. Like, I still get like the passing comments. You can see some people are walking around. Oh, should we
you wanna call it?
Yeah, let me go ahead and call it. All right, give us a second here, y'all. I'm gonna show you guys how the app works. I think y'all have seen it before, but we'll do it anyway. Is there a specific spot you wanna go? Should we go, where do you wanna go? Doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
No, you have a thing at 2, right?
I've got a thing at 2. Destination anywhere.
This
at the end of, or at 2, We can go back to the other hotel.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. All right, so we'll, and where's that hotel, do you know?
It's the Fairmont Austin.
Oh, the Fairmont? Okay, yeah, yeah. I love that hotel, actually. Okay, so we'll do, why don't we go to Terry Black's?
Okay.
Have you guys done Terry Black's yet?
No.
No? Okay, so Terry Black's is a very interesting parking lot situation.
We'll have a duel.
Yeah, we'll see, yeah, we'll see who's rated time. Higher as far as...
All right, so Terry Black's barbecue. When you get it ready, and then we'll hit it at the same time.
It's interesting, you're in dark mode and I'm in light mode. It's probably just the system settings.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Terry Black's barbecue.
If you use light mode, there's something wrong with you.
I have it on auto. All right, ready?
Go. Oh. It's all good. Let's see. Yours is 6 minutes away, mine is 9 minutes away. Damn it. You beat me to that.
Let's see.
Shit. All right.
We'll see which one navigates better.
Yeah, that'd be fun, actually. Like a side-by-side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys taken any Waymos here?
No. I've taken Waymos in SF, but not here yet.
Yeah. So did we talk about y'all's comparison with Waymo and Robotaxi? Like, did you guys find that it is smoother, that it is a better ride, or do you think it's that differentiated?
My experience in SF was, you know, I experienced no issues.
Okay.
We were talking to a Uber driver here who had taken some Waymos here. He had the same observation as you, which was there were more weird things happening with Waymo.
Yeah.
So obviously anecdotal, but corroborated. Anecdotal.
My average, like, I haven't actually been into Waymo yet, but what I've heard from people that have tried Waymos is that the general take is not like, oh, it's slightly jerky, is that it's better than an Uber driver.
Yes.
And so I think, like, even if Robotaxi is slightly smoother, the Waymo option is still better than the alternative non-autonomous option.
So, exactly.
So we'll see what happens over time.
And that's what plays on that study from SF,
right?
Right. That, I mean, we literally see it in the data. I still find that the comment I was going to make, if you do talk to let's say the casuals, the normies around Austin, I mean, you will see like people get mad at Waymos. I've seen like Waymo will do something stupid. Like we just literally saw Waymo here was pick somebody up. There was a car that was parked on the side over there, on the side of that, but there was nobody in the car, and the Waymo just pulled up behind it thinking it's trying to make a right, and it just kind of just waited there. It just waited there for like 2 minutes, and the riders are in the car like, what the hell is going on, you know? Yeah. And I said, when is this going to move? And then, you know, you have traffic situations where people are like, you can just see they're frustrated, they're like, come on, get moving, get moving kind of thing, so. But I don't know, man, it's very exciting. It feels normal already for me. I mean, it's like, it feels completely normal.
Yeah.
It's like a
service. One question we have you figured out what the safety drivers are doing on the side yet?
It's probably a kill switch.
Yeah.
But do you think does it hit a brake? Does it hit the pullover button? Or does it prompt tow operation?
I think maybe all three at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's like a master switch that says super emergency, kind of like, you know, get some, I don't know. Actually, yeah. I don't know. It is kind of, I'm sure that button's being used for something.
Right.
I'm sure it's being used for something, but I don't really, but they have all those little buttons on the screen already that, you know, they have
actually,
used.
I did see in the, I think it was the last ride we took, the you can see fingerprints on the screen for the stop button.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
So they had clearly used it at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Have you hit the support or pullover buttons? Have you been testing those?
Yeah, so I've actually, there used to be a drop me off early button. So you would get, I think within 0.3 miles of your destination or 0.2, and you had an option to say drop me off now or drop me off early. And I tried that multiple times, and I felt that the logic it used to select a spot to drop you off was very wonky. Like the one time it literally dropped me off in the middle of the road. So there was a two lane, that yellow sort of in-betweener lane where you can make, and then the two more, it went in the middle one and just stopped there and it dropped me off there. I'm like, this is crazy. So I realized that button is no longer available.
Gotcha.
They yanked that ability. Yeah. And I made a couple videos about that, and there was one time that I did a good thing. And then three other times it just did something like, it was like not a safe place to be dropped off.
Have you given the feedback in the app when you're done with the ride and it says you want to give feedback? Have you tried that?
I haven't actually tried that, but I figure they watch my videos because everything's on video. So I figure they go in there and watch. Maybe I should be doing the feedback. But outside of that drop me off early button, I haven't really experienced any situations where I would want to like call support or something.
Yeah.
There was one actually where I entered the wrong destination where we're going to Torchy's Tacos, which is like a food place. It's like a chain out here. But I selected the wrong Torchy's. And we're in the car like, ah, shit. Like I selected the wrong Torchy's. And then I think they were listening to the whole ride and they changed it for us. Really? Yeah, they rerouted us to like the right torches. We're like, what the hell? I can't believe that happened. So they're listening, y'all.
Yeah.
I hope you're not talking about anything too private, but they are listening. But outside of that, no, I haven't really used any other button. I haven't had the need to do it. Or on Waymo, like the four rides we did, I didn't feel like I needed to use anything on theirs. I really hope they get to, I really hope they're able to scale their product, honestly, because it is better than an Uber. It's just the reality of the situation is inescapable for them. Like, it's completely, do you all think Zeekr is going to make a big difference for them, for Waymo, or no? How do you think about that?
I think, so it's like, one, they're obviously, I think they're aware of what's going on and the need to lower costs.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, the iPace isn't even really around anymore. Yeah. So it's like, they need to move on. But it's like, you looked at the blog post that they put out, it's like 2,000 vehicles through the end of next year, and then getting into like automated production. So it's like right now it's all hand done. It's like pre-Model T. They're not using a moving production line.
And so
you know, scaling manufacturing is the hard part, as any person who's been along for the Tesla journey can attest to.
Yeah.
And so it will make a difference if they can continue to lower costs, because that's a key input into the cost per mile, right? You open sourced your model, which is like a great model and super easy to use, right? If you plug in a higher cost vehicle, you can see that's a big portion of it.
Exactly.
But it's like, execution on scaling is hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like Tesla's bread and butter is being able to do that, being able to chew the glass, as Elon says, and keep going.
100%. Yeah, I feel like the thing long term that really makes the difference is the ratio you have between, where is it at? Is it
pulling around? I got a few minutes.
From a couple minutes? Sure. Okay. Yeah. The ratio of teleoperators to vehicles on the road long term is the cost of the car obviously is big, but if you have 1-to-1 ratio of teleoperator to car, it's super uneconomical. And then for Tesla, it seems like once they get to 3 robotaxis to 1 teleoperator, once they yank the safety rider, they become profitable. Like, they're making like 20, 30 cents per mile of profit if they are charging Uber's prices.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But once they get to 10-to-1, or like 50-to-1, or 100-to-1, that's when it gets
crazy,
absolutely insane. But you only get there through scale. You have to have enough cars out there to actually make the money. Like in Waymo's situation, they can be at 1,000-to-1 teleoperators, but if you're only making 2,000 cars a year and somebody's gonna come in and dump 100,000 in your region, good luck competing.
Right.
It's gonna be impossible for you to compete unless you differentiate with something special that you have in the car. But an iPace and a Model Y is basically, like the Model Y I would argue is nicer because it has more room and it's like, more comfortable, you know, has a plushier ride, you know.
Well, and we've said this before too. It's like Uber versus Lyft, and it's like that debate, and plus all the other people who fell by the wayside.
Yeah,
it's like there's a long, multi-year debate over whether it was a winner-take-most environment. And it's like Uber won.
Yeah,
right. It's like it's hard, and then it's like, you know, that's a two-sided marketplace because you have to bring the people in.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I imagine it will still be true for RoboTaxi.
Yeah.
And whose is this one?
Hey, this is me. Yeah,
this is yours. Yeah.
All right, we'll see you.
See you at Terry Blacks.
All right, I'll see you at Terry Blacks. All right. It's gonna go park, and then we'll watch Frank. This is my best friend.
Oh, really?
You know this guy?
He's my buddy. Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Safe travels. We'll see you there.
Frank, you want your mic back or it doesn't matter?
Okay. Yeah. We'll watch Frank do his thing here.
Yeah.
We'll make room for this Audi. Come through.
Are you going to do one cut? Is this a one cut video?
Yeah. I'll just keep it on, keep it going, and then I'll edit out the things that don't make sense and do the rest. He's putting his seatbelt on. This Audi is gonna go around.
And I mean, the new Model Ys are so sick.
They're so nice.
Yeah,
super nice. Dude, it's easily the best value for money. It's like, I'm a huge Tesla fan, but it's like, how can you argue that?
Like,
it's literally best bang for your buck. And there goes Frank.
And that color, I haven't seen that. What color is that?
That's the silver metallic, something like that.
I like that.
What is that?
That looks like that's the blue that's on the Model X, right?
I don't even know if that's blue. That looks like a midnight. Is that the blue?
I don't know. But it's a good, I like that color. It's beautiful. It's nice.
I mean, they really did it, and it's so interesting that they did it with the Model Y too, right? Because that's the car that they're making over a million of per year. And the statement of like, hey, the best-selling car in the world or second best-selling car in the world by 2,000 units is the Robotaxi in Austin.
Oh, which one beat it by 2,000?
The RAV4.
Oh, interesting.
The RAV4 platform.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it was all variations of
the RAV4. RAV4. Nice.
Yeah. So it was like 1.23 something versus 1.224 gotcha. Something, whatever it was. Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's very exciting. It's very exciting.
Also, it's like the Model Y longer edition in China.
Yeah.
Also seems like I'm excited to see that in person.
Yeah.
Like the if the three rows are legit, then that is going to be a sick car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a six seater. I'm going to guess. I wonder. Do y'all think like? I feel like all these different form factors are not really going to matter once CyberCab is out. Because CyberCab is going to be like 90% of the market anyway. So like,
yeah.
Why are they even doing like...
I mean, I agree, but it's like, you need to get from here to there.
Right.
And it's like, to the extent that segmentation matters, then yeah. It's like, keep the factories at as high utilization as you can. If you can keep it on the same production line.
Yeah.
It's like, why not? I do think there's like a whole group of people that can't afford a Model Y, Model 3. And it's like, my hope is those lower price ones is like, sure, do a stripped down Model Y, but keep the range the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a killer car.
Yeah.
It's like in China, I think there's much more competition where you need to like have a fridge and yeah. like a Lazy Boy in the car.
Yeah, and a DJ like, booth or something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But it's like in the US, you know, honestly, air conditioning and 320 miles of range.
Yeah, and cup holders.
And cup holders, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Cup
yeah.
holders,
yeah.
And like that one screen.
Yeah.
I would, it's like, that's a killer car in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause like you know, you go into a RAV4, it's like,
yeah.
They don't feel good to drive.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is cheap and it's useful. It's like, the crossover.
It does the job.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, point A to point B.
Yeah.
Do you think there's ever going to be a situation where, you know, because I'm tracking the negotiations between the U.S. and China with the tariffs and whatnot. Do you think that's going to open up the U.S. market for Chinese vehicles to come in? Like, is that going to be part of the negotiations? Like, hey, we'll give you chips. Y'all can sell Chinese EVs in our market, but then we get, you know, the raw materials and the rare earths at like 0% or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. that'd be interesting. Nice, here's ours.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen. I'd be somewhat surprised, but I think it would be good. It's like competition. I mean, we always say this, competition is great for the end consumer.
100%,
right? And it's like, you already see Waymo and Tesla, right? Expanding service areas. It's like, it's great, it's fun, it pushes people to be their best.
100%. All right, we're gonna jump in here in our Robotaxi. How's it going, boss? I'm gonna show you the app here in a second.
Did we just make you, he just dropped us off here.
Oh, really?
I think so.
You brought him back.
Called back.
All right, thank you, brother. All right, let me go ahead and put this here. Put the seatbelt on. And Terry Blacks, here we go. Boop. Boop, boop. Back on. Thank you. We all know, yeah, I had to, y'all can't see it on camera, but I've been using these tripods for these cameras. It's like a stick. It's like a doubles as a weapon here in Austin in case somebody tries to get weird or something. But it's actually very useful for these ride-alongs. So yeah, I'm curious if the Chinese EVs will make it here, because if they do, I think legacy automakers are already are struggling quite a bit to really stay afloat. So if Chinese EVs, like I don't think the legacy automakers would allow them to, like there's no way. The lobbying they would do would be next level.
But I agree. It's like people I think are in danger, traditional OEMs and existing rideshare players.
Yeah. Have you been surprised by the,
I guess there's only been one expansion, but the talks about turning on the Bay Area here, it was supposed to be the last weekend, I guess, was the was the rumor. Elon Musk on X said that Austin's looking to expand here in the next couple of weeks. Talk me through how y'all are thinking about the rate of expansion. Is it aligning with what y'all thought, or is it different than what y'all expected?
Well, it's like, I think the most telling thing will be taking the safety person out of the vehicle. And then it's like, you know, we were debating this. It's like, what are you learning by expanding the area with still having a safety driver in the car? Or it's like, you know, or what are the puts and takes of expanding in Austin with safety drivers as opposed to keeping the same service area and getting to a point where you can remove safety drivers? But it's like, I do think, you know, scale matters here, and getting certain edge cases in different cities, right? You know, they spoke about mixture of experts of sorts in terms of different geographies. I think, you know, Austin is probably pretty similar to a lot of cities. SF probably somewhat unique in certain instances. You know, Northeast, maybe narrower roads or different congestion. And so learning from kind of each of those regional areas. But I do think it's exciting because, you know, before people are tracking, you know, like the FSD tracker online, which is like three people who are actually putting in like 80% of the miles. And so it's like, you know, not necessarily reflective. And now it's just much more public and easy to follow advancements. So it's like, if they expand Austin, then that's great. You know, when they eventually pull out safety drivers, then it's like, okay, you know, game on.
Is really. So that's the bigger signal for you, is once the safety rider is gone versus how big of an area they cover with robotaxi. Got it.
What are your thoughts on it?
I agree with that for sure. I think the area of coverage definitely points to scalability. Like, it's proof of concept of like the architecture, right? Because this whole time Tesla's like, or Elon specifically is like, the reason why we're going with cameras only and using end-to-end neural nets is because, essentially, long-term, that's how you get to a million plus robotaxis on the road. The other way is way too complex. It creates so much confusion. It's going to be tougher to scale, way, you know, way more complexities with suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. So for us to have millions of robotaxis on the road, we have to get vision and end-to-end neural nets. But then on top of that, one of the huge benefits you get from that is that the car becomes intelligent. The car knows how to drive in more places. It's not just like, you know, places where like a company can map and be super smart about, like, for example, Waymo just mapping specific areas in the city. It becomes more a generalized solution. And so the expansion of the geography points directly to that thesis being correct. And then once the safety rider, because, you know, like could you theoretically put, you know, 1,000 cars with 1,000 safety riders in the region? That's 100 square miles, sure. But as long as they're not behind the steering wheel and pedal, it's still proving out the thesis that this is a very scalable solution. It's just a matter of rounding out the edges and implementing those, like, you know, last bit of things that have to be accounted for. But I agree with you that, you know, it, yanking the safety rider is going to be rider significantly more material than expanding the geofence, but expanding the geofence is still
a necessary step.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just stuck in Waymo land, and Waymo land is like, it's scale.
Right.
The scale comes from the bigger coverage area, right? Like rides from the suburbs to the airport. That's when this thing starts to take off, and that's when you can start dropping the cars in the area and reduce wait times and all that good stuff.
Right. And to that point, it's like, okay, if Waymo's adding 2,000 cars over the next
year and a half,
it's like, how much geography can they actually expand and still have acceptable wait times? Right. And that's why they partner with Uber, so that it kind of obfuscates that, and, you know, they're built into a system that can handle those peak demand troughs. But really, that is the, it's like the ultimate question is, why aren't Waymos everywhere? Right. And it's like, if you could work to the bottom of that, I think you kind of see the landscape, right? Because Waymos are safer than humans. They've shown that. And so,
and people prefer them.
Right. Okay. And so then it's like, why aren't they everywhere?
Yeah.
It's like that's
yeah, 100%.
That's the and it's like okay,
100%.
It's like cost or, I mean, yeah, it's yeah. like some there is something there.
Yeah,
and I think Tesla as they go can do it. And then another thing we were discussing about is like, you know, I've heard some people point. It's like, oh, you know, Tesla's just doing exactly what Waymo did. But it's like doing the same thing at a much higher velocity is not doing the same thing.
It's vastly different.
Right.
Vastly different. Yeah, that's such an interesting point. And the other thing too, if you think about like, okay, the question of like, okay, if Waymo is so good, why isn't it everywhere? Fantastic question. I would layer on top of that. Why are they partnering with other players like Uber, for example, in Austin? You can only call an Uber, Waymo on Uber. Mm-hmm. You can't use the Waymo One app. You have to use Uber. So, from my perspective, the reason why they're forced to do that is because they don't have enough cars to get the network effects on their own app. So they have to piggyback on someone else's app. And that's, why would they give up a cut to Uber? Like, it makes no sense. Like, why do they want to offload that when they can have such low cost per mile on a Waymo and just monopolize the access, just like Tesla is doing? But the reason why they can't is because they don't have enough cars. And their economics don't make sense because they don't have enough cars, right? That's another thing too. It's like, why would you give up these advantages you have?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But it's like that's how Uber is. It's like how does Uber try and fend off Tesla,
which
I think is going to be challenging. But it's like if they can partner with enough autonomous players to, somehow stay relevant and be that connector. And it's like, I do think, Tesla's unique in that they are a scale manufacturer. And for anyone else, you do need a network to be able to, exactly what you're saying, to be able to meet those peak demand troughs. No one's going to open up XYZ app.
Yep.
If, you do that and you're like, oh, wait time is,
half
15 minutes,
or
right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's... I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, I mean, we probably still have safety riders, but I live about 45 minutes away from downtown, and I have to drive into the geofence from where I'm at to use it. But I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, I could just take it in, which I will at that point, especially if it stays at 920 or 690, which I highly doubt stays at 690.
It's gonna go up.
Yeah, it better go up. It better go up. All right, we got a, okay, the Terry Black's parking lot's pretty chill today. We got nothing, this is gonna be
It looks like Frank just got out. We got a car reversing in front of us. We're right in the middle of the road.
Yeah. So this person over here, we're just waiting for them. There's a red light over there. So we got pretty lucky with timing here. Although I guess we wouldn't have known this person was gonna back out until we started turning, but they could have waited until
Do you know what
clearance.
This is?
I have no idea what that is. What is that, y'all? Is that Starlink, maybe?
I don't know. That's what is our guess. Maybe not Starlink, but some TOMS.
Yeah, some sort of TOMS.
Oh, interesting. Uh-oh, it says fasten seatbelt or it will pull over. That's my bad.
Sam's over creating chaos. Down. All right, so here we got a Waymo in the parking lot as well. We got Frank chilling. Chilling. Let's see where the car decides to drop us off here. We got the battle of the autonomous vehicles. Okay, the Waymo decided to go. Very good. We did a video here with a bunch of Waymos and robo-taxis, and we were running into this issue. I think we're still waiting, I guess. We watched the Waymo. It would just pull over on the street here, and it would just drop people off on the street in the middle of the road, and it would block traffic like crazy. And we got it all on camera. It was pretty wild. Let's see where it's going to decide to drop us off. Huh?
Looks like it's going to circle again.
How come? That's interesting behavior here. So this is the first time we've seen this. So it went in the parking lot. And now it's deciding to go around again in the parking lot.
Well, this will be interesting because it's going to be two unprotected lefts.
So we got a left here, which it did. And then...
Nice.
Why would it do that? That's so funny. And it's going to drop us off here now? We'll see. Are we in a doom loop of going around in circles? That would be hilarious. All right, are we here?
Nice.
Okay, there we go. Please exit safely. Okay, there we go. This
thank
time
you.
We decided. All right, thank you, boss.
Thank you.
All right. That was interesting.
Have you left something in the car to see if they come back to you?
I have. I accidentally left something in the car, but fortunately, the robotaxi that I hailed, the following one was the one that I left the thing in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it just happened. I got super lucky, and it came to pick me up.
Yeah,
did it do a loop for you too?
No, it was worse.
It was worse? What did it do?
It pulled into the turning lane here. And just like we were saying, it doesn't get skittish anymore.
Yeah.
It got a little skittish, and the safety driver actually stopped the car.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then we put the flashers on and waited for support. And then...
What did support do?
Support said... I think the support tried to turn it back to the car to let the car finish it. The safety driver asked support to do that. And then support had the safety driver take over. So the safety driver got out, went into the driver's seat, and drove in.
Really?
Interesting.
So when you guys were pulling in, I thought you were going to see that. But the safety driver was getting out of the car to get back in the driver, in the passenger seat.
Interesting.
That was interesting and unexpected.
Okay.
And you caught it?
You caught it on camera? Okay, awesome. Good.
All right.
That's good coverage. Okay. All right, so I know it's almost 2, so you probably have to go.
Yeah, I gotta
okay.
jump.
So make sure you check out Sam and Frank from ARK. Where can people find you?
S-Chorus ARK on X is okay. The best way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And?
Downing ARK.
Beautiful. All right, everybody.
Thanks, Farzad. Always good.
I'm gonna go get a brisket sandwich.
Nice.
Enjoy.
All right, dude, great to see you.
Great to see you too.